we should make sure that we're focused on doing the same things that those quote unquote wealthy people, billionaires, corporations are doing. I own a corporation. I'm taking advantage of the tax strategy that I can to make sure I'm paying my quote unquote fair share. But remember that the government wants to incentivize people to buy real estate, to start businesses, to create jobs, to create value. Therefore, they will reward you when you do so.
Welcome to Old Money, a show dedicated to helping you build the trust fund you wish you were born with. Ladies who lunch, listen up. Life is not about looking rich. I want you to build a life and a legacy that feels rich in every sense of the word. If you're ready to stack cash, talk shop, and trade insider secrets, you're in the right place. These are the new rules to old money. So let's get after it.
Hello, rich girls. Welcome back to Old Money, the podcast to help you build the trust funds you wish you were born with. I am your host, Amber Frankhuizen. I am currently wearing my Old Money varsity sweatshirt, oversized, looking like such a Gen Z. I'm so cozy. I'm so happy to sit down and talk with you today. Actually, I'm standing, if we're being totally honest. I'm at my standing desk. My body is broken. I've been working out so hard recently, and I just cannot sit down anymore. If you've ever had sciatica, you know my pain, but that's not why we're here today. We are here, and I'm jumping right into it. We are here for a very important episode, and it's been on my list of things to talk about for, I don't know, like 2 years. But what happened this week accelerated the need for me and for all of us to get into a very important episode about protecting our legacies. You know how I am. Once I get into something, I go into it and I do all of the research. So this episode is all about all of the steps we as women need to take to protect our money, to protect our legacies, to protect our identities. And even if you're not ready for all of the more advanced steps, there's a few really easy, really basic things that I'm going to give you today that you can action on today to take control of your money, your life, your protection, your legacy, the whole thing. And we'll go through all of the advanced steps. But before we do, let me tell you what happened. Let's get into this week's birdie and bogey. If you don't play golf, it's okay. Neither do I, but we're here to do birdie and bogey. And just as a reminder, a birdie is a score in golf when you get one stroke under par. That's good. And a bogey is one stroke over par. That's bad. I'm just helping prime you for the country club with the vocabulary you need so you look good on the links. But this segment is where I break down who or what got my birdie of the week and who or what missed the mark and got a bogey. So let's start with the good news first. The good news is that things have been busier than ever. If you listen to last episode that I dropped, the amuse-bouche, a little catching up on life lately with me, you heard my update about the agency growth, and that's been really great, and the podcast growth and cash consciousness happening in the background, launching the merch store. By the way, you can get your merch at oldmoneypodcast.com/shop. We have varsity sweatshirts in there. There are limited quantities, by the way, so you're going to want to get your size and color ASAP. And of course, the overserved at the Old Money Country Club hats, which are such a vibe. Anyway, things have been busy and I have been okay. I don't know about you guys, but I've had this fear, this challenge of really having capacity to hold all the things that I want to do. And right now I'm definitely in a sprint season. Q1 is a full-on fast-paced sprint, but I've been having a lot of fun. And I think the reason why is because I've been baking that into my calendar in a really intentional way. Let me give you a couple of examples. For one, with the team, it's as important for us to bond and talk about culture and all of our obsessions with TV shows like Severance. Like, by the way, if you are not watching Severance, you need to start watching it. It's on Apple TV Plus. We went to a dinner at the Wailing Bar in La Jolla a couple weeks ago with the entire team. And the way that our table was gripped by Severance, it's so incredible. Or maybe we were talking about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, or we were talking about, I don't know, all the things. That is as important as the work that we do that's production for clients. We need to be connected. We need to be having fun and laughing and building that trust. It is the most important thing that we could do to accelerate our productivity in other areas. So for me, that's really, really important. In addition, getting into in-person meetings with our clients. We just signed an incredible new client. I can't wait to tell you about them more once we officially get them onboarded. But they invited us over to their property and we got to toast to our new partnership with Champagne, with their marketing and sales team. Absolutely iconic and just such a great way to kick off a partnership and celebrate the exciting milestones versus just signing the contract. Do you know what I'm saying? Of course, not everything has to revolve around celebration, but I also have been spending more time to grab coffee in person with people or even do my morning dog walk and connect with more of my friends. Just recently, I feel like the balance of my life has been really good because I've been intentional about it. I've been getting a lot of sleep. I've been working out super hard, as I said at the top of this episode, and doing all the things I know I need to do to get my body and my mind right to deal with things when they go wrong, which brings me to my bogey. And here's something that I've always struggled with, and I'm putting everyone on notice right now. I see you, okay? Just so you know, I see you. I am barely a public figure. That's actually such an embarrassing, cringy thing to say, but basically I have Google search results, right? I run a business. I'm involved in the community in San Diego, so things are going to be on the internet about me. And one of the things that I do really take very seriously is my privacy. Not just my privacy of my private life, but keeping things separated. No commingling of personal and business, whether that be from a financial standpoint, obviously, or from just an information standpoint. And there have been some things that have happened to me over the last few years, months, whatever, that really make me take pause. Like people trying to access my Instagram account. I'll get a whole bunch of notifications that somebody's trying to log in and then I'll change my password. Or my personal email address was compromised and sold to something somewhere, obviously, and I got bombarded with all these spam emails. And no matter even if I subscribe to them all, the way that they did my email address is they put random dots in between all of the letters and submitted it to a whole bunch of different, I don't know what, because I just get spammed with emails constantly. My inbox has been out of control. So I'm getting a new email address. The other thing that happened recently, and this is where I say I'm putting you on notice to all the creepy people out there. So I just had a new team member start at the agency. Let's call her Mary. And Mary and I were on our way separately to an in-person meeting. So we were both driving there. We both knew we were in the process of driving there. And she sent me a screenshot of a text from an unknown number. And she said, "Hey, I just got this message. This isn't you, is it?" And the message says, "Hey, Mary, let me know if you're available at the moment. Amber Frankhusen." And it's from a random phone number that is not mine. And so what do? Well, I call the number. Of course I do. I'm the FBI. I'm going to investigate. I call the number and it rings, goes to voicemail. Voicemail box is not set up. I call again. They hang up on me. I text them. I say, "Who is this?" They respond and say, "I'm at a meeting. I can't make a call, but I'm excellent with texts." And I say, "Who is this?" And they say, "Who are you?" And I, being the fire starter that I am, send them the screenshot that Mary sent to me and said, "Please explain this text." And then what do you know? They left me on read and then blocked me. And I know that they blocked me because now it says text message or SMS as opposed to iMessage. So unfortunately, there is no result when I reverse look up this phone number. But not to worry, because I have reported this person to the Federal Trade Commission for impersonation. And the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, takes impersonation very seriously, as it can harm consumers, businesses, and even public trust. Cough, cough, Jen Shaw. They take it so seriously that they will actually file lawsuits against scammers or organizations that impersonate others. Not only if they're asking for money or favors or whatever, they will obviously get restitution for people that were scammed, but they will also serve injunctions to stop fraudulent activity. They will seek penalties. And the reason they're so serious about it is because this is a rampant, rampant issue. So of course, this hit me a little too close to home. And after going through the Instagram stuff, the email stuff, and now going through somebody randomly knowing my name and my new employee's name and texting them from their number, it's too bizarre. So I went into full lockdown mode in my life. And that's what inspired this episode of what do we need to do to protect ourselves? And so I broke this into a couple of different sections of different levels of protections that you might need to take. For example, you might not need to set up a trust or a will at this stage in your life, but that's in a later section. It's more advanced, if you will. We're going to start with kind of the baseline, base level recommendations that I think every person needs to do to really understand how to protect themselves online from identity theft, from credit fraud, from scammers, from phishing, from anything like that. And it really starts with being a very wise consumer. So as an aside too, before we get into the recommendations, I wrote this beautiful SOP, which is a standard operating procedure for my team to let them know and to be aware of frauds and scams and all the things. And the biggest thing is to just question, does this feel fishy? And in the SOP, it outlines the fact that number one, I'm never going to ask anybody for money or to buy me gift cards or to purchase something or send me any personal information or their credit card information or anything ever. And I will never contact them outside of a company approved channel. We use our email address. That's how I contact people, right? And in addition to that, it also reminds them, and I will remind you to double check the, not the sender name, but the email address name. Because I've even had it where people will use the sender name as my full name, but the email address is like, I don't know, not my email address. It's like greentrees@gmail.com. I'm like, who's Green Trees? I have no idea, but it'll say Amber Frankhusen in the sender name. I'm just looking at a green tree right now. That's why I said that. Anyway, it is important to have your head on a bit of a swivel. Now, I do not think it's helpful to live your life being completely paranoid that everybody is out to get you. That's not productive. But again, the old money way of being, thinking, and operating is how can we set up systems in our lives, tripwires that automatically protect us or do what they need to do so that things are taken care of. We talk a lot about this in cash consciousness, whether it's setting up your savings accounts or setting up the way that your money flows through your bank accounts. All of these different systems that are set up in our lives are there for a reason. And this system of setting up methods to protect our legacy, it's part of one of the steps to financial freedom. Now, when we're going through the pyramid of financial freedom, as I call it in cash consciousness, think about a pyramid. It's got five different levels, right? The very bottom pyramid, the foundation, the very bottom level, the first bricks, that's all about budgeting and spending control. So that's breaking through overspending. That's understanding how much is going out, how much is coming in, making sure we're managing the money in a positive way so that we can then go to the next level, which is earning more and creating value. Once you've mastered the budgeting and money control at whatever level you're at, that's giving you the practice, the reps in the gym, so to speak, to be able to handle larger dollar volumes or more complex challenges with money. And when you get your budgeting and spending control under control, then you can go up, earn and create value. You can earn even more. You can get super aggressive about being entrepreneurial, creating more value in the marketplace of this economy of, I don't know, the company you already work at. And when you have that flowing to you, then it's time to go to level three, which is where you really start to get aggressive about investing and multiplying that money, making the income that you have, the revenue that you have come through and flow through your life. And you're not just paying your necessary expenses. You're not just keeping the lights on. You're also enjoying your life. But now you have so much overflow that you're multiplying it. You're buying assets. You're investing regularly. You're supporting your future coastal grandmother self, and you're supporting your future self who wants to go to Vegas next month, right? Today's episode is sponsored by Trust and Will. Yes, we talk a lot about making money on this podcast, but I'm also interested in keeping it. And that's what Trust and Will is here to help us do. You might be thinking, I'm young. Do I even need a trust or a will? Well, if you have assets, children, a business, or you just want to ensure that your money stays in your family without hassle, old money style, then the answer is yes, you do. Here's a quick lesson for you. A will defines what should happen to your assets, how you'd like to be cared for when you need it, or who you'd like to have care for your children if you need it. A trust gives you all the same coverage as a will, but it also reduces the burden on those you leave behind by avoiding probate court. If you do not know which is right for you, there's a quiz right online to help. In just a few clicks, in less than 20 minutes, you can get yourself all set with the legal protection you need to protect your assets and build generational wealth. The Trust and Will platform is truly democratizing estate planning, making it easy to access legally valid, state-specific documents that are tailored to you. Follow the link in the show notes that will take you right to the page that you need. Please, to support the show, use the link in our show notes. You can find it on Instagram at Old Money Podcast under our partners highlight or on our website at oldmoneypodcast.com. Get connected with Trust and Will and protect your assets today.
These are the new rules to old money, baby, and Trust and Will is here to help. On top of that, in this pyramid, I talk about protection and legacy. And that's why I wanted to bring this up, because that's level four of this pyramid, because the top of the pyramid is financial freedom. But protection and legacy is, in this context, all about trusts and wills and avoiding probate and passing on your wealth to other generations, or setting up funds for your children and how to do that in a really sophisticated way. And today we're going to talk about some of those things, whether it's establishing LLCs or setting up businesses or protecting your assets. But I want to take this back down to the base level. If you are in budgeting and spending control, this base level, first thing that you need to do, this is for everybody. This is still protection of your legacy, and it's easy to execute. So let's get into it. So in this base level recommendation, the first thing that I recommend everyone to do is to invest in a password protection system. The entire world is digital these days. And my goodness, if you have all of your pieces of paper floating around your house with passwords everywhere, I can imagine that you wanting to log into your bank account is going to take password recovery, forgot my password, then you put in a new password, and then they're like, oh, you can't use the same password that you already used. And you're like, that's a password I tried. And it's like 17 characters and special characters and uppercase, lowercase numbers, and makes you want to pull your hair out. Do not let password management get in the way of you having good passwords, because if your passwords are all your dog's name or the word password, you have to upgrade your system. Everything should be encrypted and everything should be customized. And it is so hard to keep track of things. I understand that, unless you have a password protection system. I use in our company a system that is called 1Password. There are many others out there like LastPass. And yes, they do cost a couple of bucks per month. But what you can do is you can set up individual vaults. And these vaults might be for yourself, for your husband, for your kids, for your health, for whatever. And all of these different vaults hold your passwords and keep them encrypted and protected. You can have 1Password or LastPass on your computer, on your phone, and as opposed to just relying on Google to store all your passwords, which is, I don't think, that safe, what I would recommend to do instead is to get a system like this and get your passwords organized. I'm telling you right now, if you keep your passwords on a Google Sheet or an Excel sheet or a random document or a note on your phone, you are putting yourself at great risk for somebody to be able to access your information. If you have a sophisticated business, if you have a lot of money to protect, you're going to want to make sure you put some guardrails in place so that people can't access your stuff. So my first recommendation is to make that investment into a password protection system, because not only then can you have all of your passwords stored in one place, you can very easily log in. I mean, the system we use, 1Password, you literally just click on the button. You know, it's on like a little browser extension on your computer. You click on the button, you say like, I don't know, Bank of America. You click it and then it auto fills it in for you and logs you right in. You're going to find that you're less resistant to logging into your bank accounts, logging in to pay your credit card bills, checking in whatever it is that you need to check into, but you just need to make it easy for yourself and not for anyone else. The way that mine is set up is not only through two-factor authentication, which you should have set up on everything, which is where it's going to send you a text message or a notification to your email in order to log you in, but everything is set up for me on my computer with my biometrics, meaning that it is my fingerprint that allows me to gain access to everything. And I have tested it with my team members and it doesn't work for other people's fingerprints. So the biometrics is the best way to safeguard your online financial accounts with strong passwords and also setting up that multi-factor authentication. This is not sponsored, but it sure as hell might as well be, because the other thing that I love about these programs is that it'll let you know if any of your passwords or emails were compromised and when you should change your passwords. So even if you're using the same password on a lot of things, a system like 1Password or LastPass will say, hey, you're using this password on too many items, it's compromised, or this email address has been compromised, you should change it. And it'll really help protect you in the long run. The other thing that I would recommend everybody do today is open up a new browser window, whether that's in Chrome or Safari or Internet Explorer, but open an incognito window. And an incognito window is going to give you unbiased search results that don't have anything to do with what you've already clicked on.
And I want you to search for your name on Google. Put it right there in the search bar. Put in your full name, put in your maiden name, put in your first name, middle name, last name, put in your kids' names and see what comes up. If there are items on there that you don't want to have on there, you make a list and you start going through and requesting things to get removed. Depending on the severity of how much of your life is out there, whether it's your phone number, your personal address, et cetera, you can look at these systems that are online that remove your information from websites you don't want it to be on. I don't personally have experience with those, so I can't recommend one, but I do know that they are effective of essentially scrubbing your name from the internet. And that is really important. If you listened to the recent episode of the new status symbols of wealth, privacy is at the top of that list. Staying private, being private, not being able to be found, people not knowing what you're doing, but also people not knowing what you have, where you live. That type of information should be very, very protected. That's why so many people, myself included, use PO boxes or business mailing addresses as opposed to their personal addresses to protect that information as best they can. You want to make yourself hard to find. So don't use your personal information as much as you can. Use business information, or if you have an LLC, maybe you want to have your LLC and your DBA, which is your doing business as name, separate, different. I don't know, it's just something to think about. And then the next thing, the last thing on this base level recommendation list, you're password protecting, you're doing a Google search and getting yourself scrubbed from the internet. The last thing that you're going to do is get your credit activity either monitored or freeze your credit accounts. I just did this. I froze my credit through all three credit bureaus. It's really easy to do. If you Google how to freeze my credit, it will literally give you the links right to all three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And yes, you do need to create an account with each of them and log into each of them separately to freeze your credit. What does that mean? That means that nobody can check your credit. Nobody can apply for a credit card on your behalf. And if somebody does, it's going to get blocked and you're going to get notified. Yes, it is a pain in the ass, but quite frankly, you shouldn't need to be getting more lines of credit or opening up multiple credit cards all the time. You should be good unless you need a new credit card, I don't know, every couple of years for an Amex bonus point or something like that. Or if you're applying for a new home or applying for a car or something like that, these are not things that happen all the time. I believe that it is more prudent to have your credit frozen and then unfreeze it when you know you're going to check it, versus having it open all the time just by the off chance that you might want to open a new credit card, meaning that anybody also might be able to open a new credit card if they had your information. I also use credit monitoring. I actually get this for free through Capital One, which you guys know I use as my savings accounts. And it gives me a report of my credit score all the time, which is over 800, might I brag. And it also lets me know if there's an email address that's been compromised to the quote unquote dark web. I still don't know what that means, but whatever. Or it'll let me know if my credit score has changed or anything. It'll let me know if I get any credit pulls or inquiries. So it's just a good idea to have those things turned on. It doesn't cost you any money to freeze your credit. It just requires you to create a login, go in, say that you want to freeze it. And when you create that new login, just automatically save it to your password keeper and you'll be good to go. So now we're getting into a little bit more sophisticated. This is like level two. This is one step up the ladder of things to think about as we're talking about protecting your legacy. And estate planning is a big piece of that. So you know that I love the company Trust and Will, which is a startup that's from San Diego where you can do trusts and wills online with a real attorney for a low cost. If you have children, I recommend that you do this as soon as you can. And let's talk about why. Let's start with trusts. What is a trust? A trust is basically a legal document, arrangement, agreement that outlines how you want assets transferred to another party. There are quite a few reasons why you might use a trust. One of them might be wealth transfer. If you set up a trust to pass wealth to your children without estate tax liabilities, or maybe asset protection,
you might want to put your business assets in a trust to, or an irrevocable trust, which I'll get into in 1 second, to shield them from lawsuits. So you put your business assets in a trust so that they can't come after them, essentially, if you get sued. And then another reason, another common reason I found in my research that somebody might use a trust would be when a person transfers assets to an irrevocable trust to qualify for Medicaid without exhausting their wealth on long-term care. But typically we hear about trust as it relates to wealth transfer and asset protection, or I have anyway. And the reason that people like trusts or the benefits of them is because, number one, you avoid probate. And probate is this legal process of when somebody dies, there is somebody that administers their estates. So there's a whole bunch that has to go through that. So you, like, you know, think about that movie, with what's that guy's name? I think it's Daniel Craig, and he's like a detective. It's something like Knives or something like that. It's on Netflix. I will think of it later, whatever. But, you know, they sit down, this whole family is going to go through, their dad just died, and they're like so excited about what they're going to inherit. But then it goes through probate, where you have to then validate the will if one exists. You have to settle all the debts, and then you have to distribute the assets to the heirs, and there's an executor, and you have to inventory all the assets. Then you have to go through taxes, and then you distribute the assets. And it's just time consuming. It's costly. It's likely to lead to fights between the heirs. Oh, it's Knives Out with Daniel Craig. I think it's Daniel Craig, but that's a great movie. Just like a funny, you know, wealthy people getting screwed type of a movie, which we don't love that in pop culture references, but I don't know. I enjoy a whodunit, if you know what I mean. And then the other thing that happens during probate is that the assets that are being distributed to the heirs, that becomes part of public record. So when you use a trust to avoid probate, the ownership of the assets just transfers to the people you want to transfer to, bypassing the need for probate after death. So you get a quicker and more private distribution of your assets. This is super important for people with a lot of money who, number one, are trying to avoid estate taxes if they can in their state, and also for those who want to stay private about what people are inheriting. There are two types of trust. There's a revocable trust that can be changed or revoked by the person who's putting it together during their lifetime. So let's call Daddy Warbucks has a revocable trust. He decides to leave everything to little orphan Annie, and things are fine until little orphan Annie grows up and becomes really annoying orphan teenager Annie, and she won't stop singing and she won't shut up and she starts to have a drug problem. And he's like, what about that Miss Hannigan lady? I'm going to go back with my revocable trust. I'm going to change the terms. I'm not giving anything to little orphan Annie anymore. I'm going to give it to that mean lady Miss Hannigan instead. Do you see what I'm saying? An irrevocable trust, alternatively, cannot be altered after its creation. And that is actually what's more common because there's better tax benefits and asset protections in an irrevocable trust. There's also a living trust, which is created during the grantor's lifetime to avoid probate. And then a testamentary trust, which is established through a will and comes into effect after the grantor's death. So trusts in general are really important for, again, wealth transfer, asset protection, and privacy. When we talk about the asset protection, again, it would shield your assets, whether that's cash in the bank, investments in an investment, real estate assets, business assets. It shields those assets from creditors, lawsuits, divorce settlements, etc. So they are legally owned by the trust, not the person who's quote unquote buying the home. So again, that level of separation is so crucial. And I think trusts are one of the things that wealthy people use more than anyone else out there to protect their money, to protect their assets, that the everyday person does not. And that's why I'm obsessed with this company, Trusted and Will, because they're democratizing access to setting up a trust for yourself or your family. It used to be very cumbersome, very expensive. You had to hire a specialized attorney, put a ton of money into a retainer. And then who knows this attorney, if you've never worked with an attorney before, how do you know if he's going to do a good job or a fast job or just burn hours and charge you a bunch of money? That is why companies like Trust and Will are so important, because they're giving people access to do estate planning and protect themselves and what they've worked so hard for. When we talk about estate planning, just kind of generally speaking, that's kind of like an overarching statement that includes setting up a trust, but it also includes setting up a will, which again is that legal document specifying how your assets will be distributed or what you really thought of people that you couldn't say while you were alive and you want them to know later. I don't know, that's kind of crazy to do, but I think that's what I'll probably do in my will is be like, you know what I really thought of you? Anyway, estate planning also means setting up things like power of attorney, which designates someone to manage your legal and financial affairs if you become unable to take care of yourself for whatever reason, whether it's like a health reason, or this happens a lot with military families where somebody in the military is deployed and they'll give power of attorney to their spouse back home so that that spouse can make decisions on behalf of the couple while that other person is deployed. Unfortunately, I know more than a few stories of women who had power of attorney while their husbands were deployed and took massive advantage of that, including selling the home, keeping the proceeds, and running off with the children. I wish I was kidding. So be very careful who you give power of attorney to in your life. You can also look into doing healthcare directives where if you have medical wishes, whether that's how you want your body to be taken care of after you pass, or if you go into a coma, for example, you get to dictate how you want somebody to make healthcare decisions for you or how you would want things to be handled. And it goes into a legal document so that that can be upheld. Your wishes will be upheld even if you're not there to advocate for yourself. And also, it's really important to always designate beneficiaries to your investment accounts, to your life insurance, to your retirement. All of the assets will go directly to named beneficiaries if you have it designated. So that's super important. And it also prevents a lot of drama in the family and people coming to fight over assets. And then of course, estate planning also goes into tax planning, but I'll get into that in just a second. When we talk about a will, if you have a child, you need to go set up a will and a trust right away. And a will is different from a trust in the fact that they're both estate planning tools, but a will outlines how a person's assets and property will be distributed after their death. And a trust is a legal arrangement that transfers assets to another party. So if you have a will and not a trust, your will take effect after you die, but it must go through probate, which is that court supervised process I told you about where there is an executor and they have to verify your will and they have to do all the math with your assets versus you and your attorney now writing it into a trust saying, this is what it's worth. I don't care what the valuation is. You get this, you get that, and it just goes, right? And of course, a will only takes effect after a person dies, but a trust can take effect immediately if it's a living trust, or you could use it for other reasons other than just wealth transfer, like protecting business assets, right? The thing about a will, again, is that it becomes a part of public record during probate, meaning that its contents can be accessible to the public, but a trust is private. I think wills, just like generally speaking, were more in, I don't know, like pop culture or in the zeitgeist, so to speak, because number one, they're less expensive initially. But I think in pop culture, we see a lot of people writing a letter on like, you know, a piece of parchment that's been burned and stained in coffee. And they're like, dear family, I'm leaving my assets to my dog. And then when you have that will, if it wasn't signed in front of an attorney, then you have to go through and verify it. And you know, that might not cost you any money now, but it's going to cost your family a ton of money later due to probate fees and figuring out all of the assets that need to be distributed. So setting up a trust is typically a little bit more expensive upfront, but it's definitely going to save you money in the long term. So estate planning in general is to me the level two of this all, which is getting yourself set up for what's to come. We are all going to pass inevitably. And also making sure that you're protecting your assets now, whether your son is getting married to a crazy new daughter-in-law that you're not really sure you want her to get all your assets in a divorce, there's plenty of benefits to it. So the next kind of section in this here is protecting your business assets. If you have a business, making sure that you are registered in the correct way. Now, again, this is not financial advice. This is not legal advice. I am not here to tell you what type of financial or corporate structure is right for you. There are a whole bunch of different company structures, whether it's a sole proprietorship, a limited liability company, or an LLC, an S corp, a C corp, a B corp, all the things. But there's different levels of liability protection within each of these different business structures. What you want to make sure you do for sure, no matter how you run your business or how it's set up is clearly separate all business and personal finances. You cannot commingle your expenses. Commingling means you're using business money for personal expenses or you're using personal money for business expenses. There's a very specific way that if you're going to, for example, invest money into your business, you need to make a deposit into a business bank account, name it as a basis investment, essentially, like that's startup capital. And then you need to maintain clear documentation of all of the things that happen within your business and record all of the business uses for the expenditures in your business. If you are doing things like put in your shopping sprees at Aritzia on your business account, you're going to be in trouble, baby. Don't do that. Now, if you've heard my episode with Barbara Shrehans of Write Off Your Life, I want to get back to that. That's like level three. We're going to get into that in a second, which is all this like tax strategy. But just generally speaking, when we're in level two of asset protection here, the most important thing you can do if you have a business is to make sure that you're registered under the correct corporate structure. You need to talk to a tax professional, your accountant. You need to talk to everybody about that. You need to talk to an attorney. And you also need to make sure that you keep your personal and business expenses completely separate. If you do not do that and you have an issue in your business where somebody sues you and you're commingling funds, they can not only come after your business assets, but because you've commingled, they can access your personal assets as well. The other thing that you want to do in business is make sure that you maintain super, super clear documentation around your business structure. For example, if you have a partnership, you need to make sure that you have a proper operating agreement. You want to make sure that you're registered with all of the right state and federal entities. You want to make sure that you invest in intellectual property protection. These are the hidden costs of business, as I call them. All this girl bossing entrepreneurship, I have spent so much money over the years of running my business on attorneys and setup and just formation and the right documents and making sure that all of my I's are dotted and T's are crossed. I always want to say that the opposite way, T's are dotted, I's are crossed, but you know what I mean? Just having everything super organized is so important. And then speaking of partnerships, I'm still in level two here. We talked about the fact that you would never go into a business arrangement without an operating agreement, without indicating, you know, who invested what into the business and the percentage of ownership and the roles and responsibilities. I would suggest that if you are getting into a business partnership that we like to call a marriage, you also get your paperwork settled. And that means going through and doing a prenuptial agreement if you have assets that you want to keep in place or separate, or just to go in with eyes wide open. As you go through a prenuptial process with an attorney, you will do an inventory of all of yours and your partner's assets and liabilities. So all of the things that you own, including real property, investment accounts, retirement accounts, personal debt, consumer debt, student debt, all the things, so that you can have a really clear picture, eyes wide open, before you go into your marriage. Because when you go into a marriage, you are completely combining everything in your life, especially if you're in California, into community property. This is so important that you don't wait until the last minute, right before your marriage, right before your wedding date to get this done. Work on it ahead of time. Give yourself plenty of time. If you remember just recently, Kelly Bensimone from Real Housewives of New York, she and her fiance were days away from their wedding, could not come to an agreement on their prenuptial agreement, and therefore she canceled the wedding. And I did state that, good for her. I don't know the terms. I don't know the details, but I do know her as a character on television and social media. And like, who knows what she was asking for and if it was reasonable or not. I'm not sure about her, just generally speaking. So maybe she was asking the man for something completely unreasonable and he wasn't willing to budge on it. Or maybe she wasn't and she was just advocating for herself and her daughters. But essentially, anything that you bring into the marriage is separate property, right? Until you are married, and then what you create from there is community property. So I'd be interested to know the details of that, very much so. Anyway, it's something that you want to figure out early. I just found this out recently. I just found out women, when they're getting married, they get their wedding dresses like 12 to 10 months ahead of their wedding date because it takes them that long to get a maid. I had literally no idea. So I would suggest that when you're shopping for a wedding dress, you should also be shopping for an attorney to write your prenup. I want to shout out, there's a new company that I've known through my friend Alicia's friend Hillary, who I reached out to Hillary. Her sister has founded a company called This First, or maybe that's the website, thisfirst.com. I think the company is called First, and it's online prenup agreements that you can work with real attorneys. I think the entry level price is like $600 for a one side representation. Maybe it's $2,500 if you, both of you, use the program. I haven't used it yet, but she's a woman in business. She just secured a huge round of funding. It's a startup that reminds me of Trust and Will. So I'd go check it out if you are in the market for a prenup. The last thing that I'll say about what you need to do in this like level two, so to speak, is insurance. Now, I've broken this into level one and level two, right? Like level one is very basic. Get your passwords, get your credit frozen, scrub your name from the internet. Level two has been set up a trust, make sure you're doing all the estate planning things that you need, like setting up power of attorney or medical designations, make sure you have a will, protect your business assets by having the right business formation, making sure that you keep your personal business finances separate, make sure you have all the documentation for your business. Oh my God, make sure you have good partnership agreements, make sure you have a prenup if you're going to get married, and then insurance. And you're like, Amber, there's 5,000 steps in level two. I get that. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to make sure that we're covered safe and secure in second base. Do you know what I'm saying? In the insurance coverage conversation, just make sure that you're maintaining adequate property insurance, liability insurance, life insurance. If you offer that, you might want to consider umbrella insurance for additional liability protection. I cannot stress this enough. We just saw this in LA with the fires, of people not having insurance coverage, not because it was their fault, not because they were negligent, but because these companies canceled it like weeks before. Spencer and Heidi, they had their fire insurance canceled weeks before their home burned down. It's crazy. This is something that we need to, God, just the thought of getting on an 800 number and talking to a customer service representative makes me want to die. But it's so important that we are regularly checking on these things, maintaining them, making sure that we're making the phone calls, asking the questions, adjusting the coverage as we need, as our lives grow and expand, as we have new babies, as we move homes, as we buy new cars, as we offer new services in our business. By the way, if you own a business, having general liability insurance, workman's comp insurance, errors and omissions insurance, all those types of things is so important in today's day and age. It's part of being a grown-up. It's part of the unfun part, but it is absolutely crucial. So the next level, I'm going to call this level three. This is the advanced level course of all of the additional things you can do to protect yourself. Now, the first thing in level three is inspired by my muse, my new muse. I was just told by my new team member, quote unquote, Mary, the one who started this whole story. I was told that while we were on a tour with a new client, I was channeling this woman from the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, where I was constantly like, love that, love that, love that, love that. If you know who I'm talking about, you know I'm talking about Lisa Barlow. I'm horrified. I'm equal parts horrified and impressed with myself because I don't know. I just like black out when I talk. Sometimes I'm just reacting and I have been binge watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. So I'm not surprised that just like came out of my essence. But as I was mentioning, this first item is inspired by Lisa Barlow, the woman who has a cybersecurity staff member on speed dial, has six attorneys that she's going to call from the back of the Sprinter van when Jen Shah gets arrested. It's about surrounding yourself with trusted professionals. I'm talking about great attorneys, great financial advisors, great fiduciaries, great accountants, all of these people, and creating strong relationships with these people, making sure that they have proven track records. Now, was just talking about this on our episode, so aptly titled Dismantling the Patriarchy, with my friend Shay, and she was bringing up like, if Bernie Madoff can scam some of the biggest banks in the world, who are you to think that you can't be scammed as well? Jen Shah, speaking of being in the back of a Sprinter van, that just came full circle. Jen Shah from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City was scamming elderly people and people that were taken advantage of. I don't even really know what she was doing. I know she quote unquote owned a marketing company, which like, do not put that on my name, Jen Shah. But it's about getting the right people around you and making sure that you're not just vetting them once, but you're always vetting them. I'm going to tell you, actually, I told you on my Birdie and Bogey a few weeks ago about how I have to get my nose surgery again this year, my third official. And when I was calling for the medical records or the post-operative records from my first rhinoplasty, I found out that the doctor that did my first surgery on my nose was like disbarred from his medical license. I don't think that's how you say it, but essentially he was no longer a doctor because he was sued for malpractice and was no longer able to practice anymore. And, you know, when you're a doctor, when you're an attorney, when you're a real estate agent, you have to go through continuing education. Every few years, you have to do a certain number of hours and make sure that you keep yourself up to date. But there's also ways that you can look for people to see how they're progressing and advancing in their careers, right? Doctors, for example, who are constantly researching and putting out research papers and are speaking on panels. One of my incredible early on clients, Dr. Shirazi, I love her so much. You probably know her on Instagram or TikTok as Skin by Dr. Ozzy. She is one of those women that is always doing a research paper. She is always speaking at some conference about this new technique that she developed or a new insight that she has. She's the type of woman that you know is always pressing forward and up-leveling their career. That's somebody that I would trust to inject my face. Do you know what I'm saying? So just like Lisa Barlow has her cybersecurity chief and her six attorneys on speed dial, I recommend that you start to curate a collection of trusted professionals around you, but that you continually vet them and don't get complacent just because it was your dad's CPA and you're going to let him file your taxes too. No, you find the fiduciary that knows your life, your business, your situation, and supports you. I'm telling you, spending money on the right people is the best investment you can make in your business, in your personal life. Now, the next thing in this level three area of protecting yourself is something that's actually pretty controversial. And I have an amazing client. We have an amazing client, AF Marketing, Shannon Weinstein. She's going to be a guest on Old Money soon. I love her so much. Number one, she's hysterical. Number two, she's absolutely brilliant. She is a fractional CFO, and she is the best at breaking down concepts and making them super, super understandable. She also has a podcast called Keep What You Earn. If you are a business owner, it is a must listen. But one of the things that she makes me laugh so hard with is she's like, so many people come to me and they ask me, this is Shannon speaking, not me, for tax strategy. How can I like really take advantage of write-offs and do all these types of things? And she's like, number one, that's not my specialty. But number two, why don't you just make so much money that you don't even care how much your tax bill is? Which is such a good approach. Like, I do not get heartburn about paying my taxes, but I also implement a lot of tax strategy. I don't do it on my own though. Like, that's not my area of expertise. And the reason why this is in a level three category is because I think people get a little fast and loose with tax strategy and not having the right advice and just trying to make it work when they're not tax strategists. If you want to talk to somebody about real tax strategy of how to really understand the system, the girl for you is Barbara Shrehans. Again, I mentioned her on this episode already, but we did an episode called Write Off Your Life, which is also the name of her program. I've taken her program. I've enrolled in it. I'm an advocate and an affiliate for the program. If you are interested in learning more about how to use write-offs in your business, not for personal, but in your business to, as she puts it, write off your life, this is where you need to go. It talks about all the nuances in this course, all about if you want to travel for business, how do you document and how do you travel for business and make it for business, even if you're going to have some pleasure days? Like, what is the number of days when you travel internationally versus domestically that you have to be doing business or having meetings, or how do you make things a legitimate business expense? How do you create a life that supports your business versus your business supporting your life? Do you know what I'm saying? She is the type of person that really deeply understands. Like, I find this woman to be so brilliant. She really is a tax professional that works to optimize tax efficiency and avoid as much liability as possible. And I think what's really important about this is that it's so empowering to focus on your own stuff, so to speak. I think there's a lot of discourse and conversation out there in the world about corporations paying their fair share, billionaires paying their fair share. I think as business owners at whatever level we're at, we should make sure that we're focused on doing the same things that those quote unquote wealthy people, billionaires, corporations are doing. I own a corporation. I'm taking advantage of the tax strategy that I can to make sure I'm paying my quote unquote fair share. But remember that the government wants to incentivize people to buy real estate, to start businesses, to create jobs, to create value. Therefore, they will reward you when you do so. So working with a tax professional to really optimize your tax strategy, that has to come, as Shannon says, after you're making so much money that like you don't really care anyway, and that's icing on the cake, and that you're not trying to do it alone. You're doing it with guidance. If you're interested in learning from Barbara, she's hosting a free masterclass this month. I'll find the link and I'll put it in the show notes so that you can register and learn more about some of these little hacks. If you're a business owner, I find it super, super interesting. The other thing on tax strategy, again, is making sure you're utilizing tax advantage accounts like IRAs or HSAs or 401ks or simple IRAs, whatever it is that's happening in your life and your business, so that you are maximizing the money that you keep and saving for the future in the most tax advantaged way possible. This next item is kind of a wild card. It doesn't take too much explanation, but it's in the level three of protecting yourself, because if you are investing heavily in cryptocurrency, you should be a very sophisticated person anyway. And this tip is to make sure that you store your cryptocurrency in a cold wallet. What does that mean? A cold wallet means that you're storing it in a place, whether it's a computer or a hard drive, that's not connected to the internet, making it significantly less likely that someone's going to hack you and steal your Bitcoin. Do you know what I mean? So this is kind of boring. There's a whole bunch of cold wallets. You can definitely look it up. If you have a lot of Bitcoin, you should be looking into this. But essentially, it's just separating your assets so they're not as easy to be stolen, because the whole world of cryptocurrency is really unregulated and challenged. And there's not like FDIC protection on your cryptocurrency investments, right? And the last thing, this is the very last thing here. Again, we're in level three. This is when you have all the other systems in your life set up. You're making your passive income. Your investments are growing. Your net worth is quadrupling all the time because you are maybe fat fired or chubby fired. You are relaxing. You are financially independent. You retired early, all the things. You are educating yourself. This is the piece I think a lot of people miss, because I just talked about hiring trusted professionals. The one thing that I want to leave you with is that you cannot outsource the responsibility of your life, of your finances, to anybody ever. You have to stay informed about changes in financial laws or investment opportunities. That means taking courses, going to workshops, reading books, making sure you're staying up on your financial literacy, and taking care to mitigate risks on your own. That is what's going to make sure that you have long-term financial security and peace of mind, because as I like to put it, it's important, especially for women, to be a little dangerous in every topic so that you can at least understand if somebody's bullshitting you. You can at least know enough to say that doesn't feel right, that doesn't sound right, or to be the underdog and impress the hell out of a new attorney that you're talking to. Like, let them think you're dumb. Let them think you don't know what you're talking about. And then redline the fuck out of their document. I think it's a really good way to also make sure that not just that you're, you know, watching out for fraud or scams or people taking advantage of you, but that you're an active participant in your financial life, in your business life, in your marriage, all of the things. Please do not be a Teresa, Giudice, Giudice, whatever her name is, and just willingly sign documents that Juicy Joe puts in front of you. You need to read the documents. You need to stay educated and you need to take care of yourself. I think a lot of the things I talked about in this episode are not sexy. It doesn't have to do with a Chanel bag or a Birkin. It's maintenance. It's life maintenance. And signing up for a big, wealthy, expansive life, well, heavy lies the crown. It's a privilege to be able to do these things for yourself and to be so smart and to listen to the Old Money podcast and keep yourself abreast of what's going on in the world and what you can do to protect yourself as you continue to grow your legacy. This has been such a long overdue episode. I hope that this person that tried to scam my employee knows that the FTC is coming after them. I don't feel bad about it at all. And everybody else is on notice that you never want to mess with a rich girl, because we're not messing around. So if you have questions about this or anything else, you can always reach out to me on Instagram at Old Money Podcast. Or if you want to submit something completely secretly, anonymously, you can go to oldmoneypodcast.com/contact, I think. And then you can fill out a little form there. Don't forget to get your Old Money merch, oldmoneypodcast.com/shop. I want to see you.
in your varsity sweatshirts, in your hats. Tag me on Instagram. I love you guys so, so much. I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye.
Feeling rich? I hope so. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Old Money. If you have questions you want answered, email me at oldmoneypodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on social. We are at Old Money Podcast and I am at your service. If this episode spoke to you, inspired you, helped you, if you took a single note, it would mean the world to me if you could please just take a minute to rate and review the podcast. And if you're not doing so already, subscribe. And if you have friends who like getting rich, please share this episode with them, even if it's just on your Instagram story. And I'd love you more than Jeff Bezos loves Amazon Prime. Thank you so much, and I will talk to you on the next episode. Remember, I'm not your lawyer, I'm not your tax professional, and I'm not your financial advisor. The content presented in this podcast is intended to entertain, educate, inspire, and support listeners and their personal and professional development and does not constitute business, financial, or legal advice. In addition to that, this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services.